Good morning, boys and girls. Good to see you all. And there's a little breath of spring in the air, is there not? You mightn't have noticed it, but I have. And I'm always looking out for the slightest little breath of spring, because it's a time of the year that I particularly love, turning from winter into those brighter days. Well, this morning we're going to read some verses from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60 of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. We'll be turning, of course, to Psalm 2 again, but I want to read here with you because this whole chapter, but we're not going to read all of it, shows the final outcome. The final outcome of the affairs of this world as God works his plan. Now, again, I emphasize the privilege that is yours. Out there, they have no idea about what God tells us here. They have no idea. They're not in the least interested in even hearing what God has to say. But you have the privilege of God sharing with you what his plan is. And the best thing about God's plan, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. It's not like the plans we often make that don't come to pass. But God's plan does. Listen then, we'll read a few verses. Arise, shine. Oh, that's the dawn, isn't it? Of a new day. The rising, shining of a sun. The light of God is breaking upon the world in a fashion that has never done so before, except at the dawn of creation, perhaps. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. He's talking, of course, about his people Israel. Remember that. Right at the heart of God's plan and purpose for this world is Israel. Israel. God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and through you I'm going to bless the whole world. And out of Abraham came the nation of Israel. And it's through Israel that the world is blessed. Who are we preaching about primarily every time we stand up and open the Word of God? We're speaking about a Jew and the blessings he brings to us. That Jew being the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was, is an Israelite. And so here, the wonderful day of blessing that is coming upon this world, it will start, as it were, with God's blessing upon Israel. Verse 3, and the Gentiles. Ah, you see, God's light arises upon, as we read in verse 2, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Then, as a result of that, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. In this glorious day, oh, there's so many things will happen, but one of the things that will happen will be God will gather all the Jews of the world back home again. There's Jews today in Russia. Jews today in Ukraine, there's Jews today in Ireland, there's Jews today in England, Scotland and Wales. But that's not where God desires them to be. And one day he's going to bring them all home, just like the prodigal. He returned home to his father. Well, the Jews are going to be brought home in this great future day of blessing. Of course, it's that day that began with the return of Christ. That's what's spoken of. Verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. I will not read any further, but if you want to read further, please, please do, and see what it is God here is saying, how things are going to change when Jesus comes, change for his people, change for others as well, because as a result of his blessing upon Israel, it will come upon the world to a degree that has never come upon the world before. I read that because as we turn to Psalm 2, and I hope you can quickly find it, as we turn to Psalm 2, we come to the final section of the psalm. As I've said to you before, the psalm's divided into four sections, three verses in each section. You have, as you will remember, the rebellion of men. That's the first three verses. Then in the next three verses, you have the response of God to the rebellion. Then in the next three verses, we're told about the Lord Jesus and the kingdom that has been given to him by the Father, a kingdom that he's going to claim one day. You may have read in the newspapers how that the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, is waiting to become King Charles. When his mother passes away, the throne is empty, and he will take the throne. Well, that's what men and women think will happen. Likely will. Well, the Lord Jesus, in a much more wonderful way, is a king waiting. Waiting to take the throne of this world. It belongs to him, but he has not yet ascended the throne, as it were, and claimed all that is his. But he's going to do that. And then we come to the final three verses. And they're quite a contrast to what we read in the three verses before. In the three verses before, we have the Lord Jesus reigning in power. And as a result of his reigning in power, verse 9 says, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." He's going to put down the rebellion, you see. He comes. He's going to deal with those who are fighting against God. He's going to deal with them. And deal with them utterly. He's not going to give them a wee shake or a slap on the wrist. He's going to break them like a potter's vessel hit by a rod of iron. And yet, and this is the marvellous thing about the Bible, even in that day, he speaks in mercy. You know, I jotted down, sitting over there on the chair waiting to come up and speak, I jotted down a little thought that only occurred to me. Well, it's not a new thought or a fresh thought. But these last three verses are an offer of mercy. This is a gospel message here in the last three verses. And it's significant in that it's directed at those who are mentioned in the first three verses. Those who are raging against God. Those who are desiring the overthrow of God. In the last three verses of this psalm, the Lord Jesus is speaking in mercy to such people. And as I've said, these first three verses depict the final manifestation, the fullness of man's rebellion against the Lord that will take place just before the Saviour returns. I was thinking this morning as I got up, and as I usually do, I take a quick little scan at the news before I do anything. And the news from Ukraine is not good. The Russians are advancing and many, many people have been killed in the last 24, 48 hours. Little ones, boys and girls. The Russians are cruel. The leader of the Russians, Putin, is a cruel, godless man. And the sad thing is, it's going to get worse. Men can do nothing. All the big nations that have all the armaments you could ever wish are scared to do anything. They're scared. Oh, they're taking steps to cut off money from Russia and make life difficult for Russia, but they're not sending any soldiers to fight. Now, there's many reasons behind that decision, but we'll not go into that. Sufficient for us to say that men can only look on and weep. They have no answer to the cruel actions of Russia, really. And it's sadly going to get worse for Ukraine. Well, that's how it is in this world. You have been born into a generation, boys and girls, that care less for the things of God than the generation of your mum and dad. And even that generation cared less for the things of God than the generation of your grandfather and grandmother. You see, the world is moving further and further away from God, entering more and more into a rebellion. In fact, I just wrote an email this morning to one of our ministers who had shared a report compiled by a man noting that fewer and fewer and fewer Protestants are obtaining places in universities. Fewer and fewer Protestants. And this man who compiled the report, he was very concerned about it. And he's written to politicians and all the rest of it. And my response, you see, I was sending this to the minister who circulated this report. I was saying, this is the consequences of apostasy. When people turn away from God, then all the good things they have enjoyed under God in the past, they begin to lose. They begin to lose. I talked about it coming into spring, and soon, well, already the hedges are beginning to bud. If you look out there, you'll see daffodils beginning to push up. I look at the shrubs round about my garden, and the little green shoots are appearing. And it'll go on and on into the summer months when everything will be at its fullness. But then when it comes to October, November, the sun's not as high in the heavens. The warmth is not there. So as we move into autumn, things begin to die off. And that's what's happening in the world. We're moving further and further into the dark months. And yet, in the midst of the rebellious period, set out in the first three verses, the Lord Jesus still is addressing words of mercy. And today, the gospel's still going forth. And there are sinners still getting saved, though not to the degree that they have in former times. But still the word of God is going forth, and here you are today gathered in under the sound of God's word. The light's shining in this little spot. It may not be shining in some places, many places, but it's shining here, and that's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. So, we come to the final three verses, and here we have the recommendations that the gospel makes to sinners, those in rebellion. Verses 1, 2, 3. Who will, if they continue in their rebellion, know the wrath of God. 4, 5, and 6. To them comes these recommendations set out in verses 10, 11, 12. Listen to them as I read them to you. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord. That's the height of wisdom. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are all they that put their trust in him. This is a wonderful gospel message here in these last three verses. And it is set in the midst of man's rebellion. And that shows the great grace of God that he should speak so to rebellious man. Now let's quickly look at this then. What we're told is that the only wise thing to do in the light of God's truth, as man's rebellion is revealed in the previous verses, the only wise thing to do for those in rebellion is to yield, to stop, surrender, obey the Lord Jesus. Man's rebellion can't succeed, won't succeed. If you're not saved today, you might be defying the message of God, but I'm telling you, your defiance will end in utter defeat. You can't even begin, nor can I, even begin to imagine what will be the result of your defiance of God. It's dreadful. The only wise thing for anybody who is in rebellion against God is to obey him. God's response here makes that very plain. Christ's going to win. He's going to take the throne because that's what his Father has decreed. His kingdom will not be toppled. You can't fight it. He's going to conquer. Those who stand in the way of the Lord Jesus coming to the throne and who try to stop him coming to embrace and enjoy his inheritance from his Father will be broken. We've said that many times, repeating what is set before us in the verses 7, 8, and 9. Therefore, in the light of that, submission, in faith and repentance, is the wisest course of action. Now, look at the invitation. We have 3 points. We'll take up the first point this morning, and that is to whom the invitation is addressed. The subject of the invitation. To whom is God speaking? Well, verse 10 tells us, be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. That's who he's speaking to. That's the one to whom mercy is offered. It's those who are in rebellion. The Lord Jesus very clearly says that he didn't come to call the righteous, he came to call sinners to repentance. And here he is calling sinners to repentance. What a contrast there is between the heart of God and the heart of man. The heart of man is set forth in the first three verses. They're in defiance of God. What do they want to do? They want to kill God's Son, the Redeemer. And kill him they did. They murdered the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Not realizing, of course, that even in that, God was going to work his great purpose. For out of the death of the Lord Jesus came life for us, for he died as our substitute, bearing our sin. That shows the heart of man. Do you remember how often, when in the trial of Christ, the people gave voice to, let him be crucified. And even when the Roman leader, Pontius Pilate, was pleading, but he'd done nothing wrong, I let him go, they cried out all the more, away with him, crucify him. That's the heart of man. What's the heart of Christ? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I give you rest. He that believeth on me shall never die. That's the heart of Christ. What a contrast to the heart of man. Man desires to just dive into sin and defy God. God desires the happiness and the blessedness of his creatures, even those who are in open rebellion against him. Oh, the grace of God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Jesus died for enemies. He died for enemies. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and you that were sometimes alienated, you know what that means, cut off, separated entirely away from, alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, brought together with God. Do you understand that, boys and girls, today? That's our nature, enemies. That's what we were born. And if we die as enemies, we'd be lost. Praise God, to enemies like us, there comes the gospel, the message of salvation. You notice, quickly, time's going, you notice in these words of invitation, the words are addressed, not just to rebels, but to the very chief of rebels. Look at what it says, verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Look at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things and the kings of the earth and the rulers? So the people were in rebellion against God, according to verse 1, and they were led by the kings and the rulers. And yet it's to the kings and the rulers that the Lord Jesus here in verse 10 is offering mercy. What I'm trying to press upon you is that God's not just merciful to sinners, he's merciful to the chief of sinners. Paul recognized that. That's why he said of himself, I'm the chief of sinners. He considered himself to be a chief of sinners because of how he had lived before he was converted. He saw in him a fullness of sin and rebellion. And he saw that God was kind not just to sinners, but he was kind to him, the chief of sinners. And so it is. God raised Lazarus from the dead. He who was dead for 3 days and whose body was beginning already to corrupt, that's the one Christ raised from the dead. So I'm pressing this upon you, that the Lord Jesus shows mercy to the worst of people. You know, if you feel yourself today to be too sinful to be saved, you would be entirely wrong. I can say today there are none too sinful to be saved if they come and obey the gospel, if they come to Christ. I read this morning in my Bible of 10 lepers, and they saw the Lord coming. And it says they stood afar off. They didn't come near him, because they knew themselves to be lepers. And they knew that being lepers, they would only maybe infect others. So they stayed away, in keeping with the law of God. But from a distance they shouted, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And just like that, the Lord healed them. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. That was what lepers who were healed were required to do. Go and show themselves to the priest. The priest would examine them and say, yes, you're healed. And you can go back and live with their family. And it says that the 10 lepers heard that word. They turned and were starting for Jerusalem, to the temple, to the priest. And as they turned, they were healed. You see, as they obeyed what Christ said, they were healed. Leprosy is the worst of diseases, but the Lord can heal the worst of diseases and does. And so it's the kings and the judges, the leaders, the rulers that are addressed here. The worst of sinners. Then finally, in this gospel invitation that's worded here, there is the indication of the objective, the purpose, the plan that Christ has. He's speaking to the king, who hold positions of power and authority and are leading the people. And he wants to see them saved. And by saving them, they become followers of him. They're under him. They're ruled by him. In other words, the Lord Jesus, through the gospel, conquered men and women and boys and girls by his mercy and love. He was going to expand his kingdom, bring people into it by his mercy. And that will be seen following the return of Christ. Oh yes, he'll deal sharply with anybody who defies him, but at the same time he'll be speaking in mercy, and those who obey him in that future time will enter into joy, bliss, the like of which we can't even begin to imagine. Are you saved today? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you heard the Lord calling you? And have you obeyed? Just like those 10 lepers. Who, when told to go to the priest, they turned and they started for Jerusalem. But the very first step they took, they were healed. A mighty change came, just the first step. And I remember the first step I took when I asked the Lord to save me. And I took the first step. What a change. We used to sing a wee chorus. And I had never heard of it before until I got saved. And I loved to sing it afterwards. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Since Jesus came into my heart. Is he in your heart today? Is he in your heart today? May the Lord have mercy upon you and bless you. And may the words we've spoken today be a means of encouraging and helping and blessing you. Let's bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, for your blessing upon the words spoken. We do pray that despite our rebelliousness, our disobedience, our sinful hearts, we may be conquered by the grace of God. Bless the school. And we do remember poor Ukraine, Lord, the poor people there. God, have mercy upon them. Work thy purpose in mercy amongst them. Hear us now, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.